said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In the last couple of weeks, we've been going through that, talking about it, and where we kind of settled with it is that Jesus was on a mission to give his life away so that we could have life. And then he consequently called us to a mission to give our lives away so that he can use us and work through us, so that he can have the control in our lives instead of ourselves. And to the degree that we are sacrificed, to the degree that we have died to our own desires, to the degree that we're willing to lay our lives aside, it's proportional to the degree that Jesus can use us. How much control in our lives are we willing to give up? How much are we willing to be used by God? We've been in this series for a few weeks now, this journey with Jesus, where we look at the purpose of Jesus' mission here on the earth. Jesus didn't just come randomly, and he didn't just come for a time just because. He came with a purpose and a mission, and it's not just that we can read and see what he did that dictates the mission. He spoke very clearly about it and very succinctly about it. He declared again and again, "For this reason I have come. It is for this purpose that I am here." And so what I want to look at today is how Jesus used his time on the earth in a very succinct statement that he makes. It's one of the only times that he makes a statement about what he came to do using, quoting another scripture. We're going to look in the book of Luke at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And it really sums up Jesus's purpose and his God-given mission. In this moment, Jesus has been through the temptation into the wilderness. He has begun his earthly ministry now, walking around teaching, and he has now come into a synagogue, which would have been like a church today, a Jewish church. And he comes into a synagogue in his hometown in Nazareth. He was invited up to read from a scroll, and the scroll that he was given was the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolls the scroll to a specific passage, which is Isaiah 61, and he chooses and reads these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, and to give freedom to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, there's a list of things that Jesus says that he's here for, that he's about, that the Spirit of the Lord is there for. But I want to focus in on one word in particular. There's many good words in there. We're going to look at them in later time. But there's one word in particular I want to focus on today, and it's probably not the word that jumps out at you when you're reading it first. The word is because. It's kind of a benign word. It's not a very, you would think the Spirit of the Lord, anointing, proclamation, recovery, freeing, all of these things would be the highlight of that. But really, what I want you to see today is that without this one word, because, none of the other things are actually possible. So right in the beginning, and it's in the chapter in Isaiah, and it's in his quote that he reads there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because." The word "because," we don't think about that word much in English, and it means the same in our language today as it would have back then. So I want to kind of help us understand what Jesus means when he says that, or what Isaiah meant when he wrote that. Because means for this cause. In other words, for this purpose, for this reason. Sound familiar? Because I'm gonna read you the Bible definition for it. So it's gonna be very dry, and then I wanna backfill, okay? Introduces the basis for and shapes the end outcome of the idea. I want to listen to that again. The word because introduces the basis for. In other words, it creates what? The foundation, the purpose. But then it shapes the end outcome of the idea that's stated. This is a very everyday word. Let me give you an example that we use in our house all the time. I am going to the store because we are out of milk. Right? Not only does my statement, I'm going to the store because, not only does the word because tell you why I'm going to the store, it also lets you know what to expect from the outcome. I'm going to the store, why? Because it's random? Because I just feel like going to the store and walking around? No, because we're out of milk and I'm going to go get the milk. And the expectation, even though it's not stated, is that I'm going to come back with milk. You see, that word because not only imparts the reason, it imparts the purpose. And it imparts the outcome that we are expecting, even though it's not stated. So when Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, he's telling us something. He's saying, why is the Spirit of the Lord upon me? Because he has anointed me. Because of the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Because of the anointing. Now, normally, we think of anointing as something that's applied. I brought it and I left it over in my bag. I brought a little jar that a friend of mine brought back from Israel, a jar of anointing oil. Normally, when we think of anointing, that's what we think of. We think of oil. In fact, that would have been the historical context for understanding anointing in a Jewish or a Christian context was oil. I want to read you a passage way back in Exodus where God is talking about the mixture and he puts together and gives them the formula for making the anointing oil. And he says in Exodus chapter 30, whatever touches this oil will become holy. You will anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priests. This shall be by holy anointing oil throughout your generation. The anointing oil was a special oil, and it signified someone that had been set aside. But I want to read you something very interesting that gets stated in a later part, after Jesus coming. In Acts chapter 10, 38, Peter is talking to a group of Gentiles, and he's telling them about Jesus. And he says these words in Acts chapter 10. He says, God anointed, hear that word, it's the same word, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, that's a whole different dynamic. Oil is something tactile, something you can see, something you can feel, something that says they have the oil, they are set apart. And what Peter is saying is that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. Anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. What did John the Baptist say? I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. And so it was. On the day of Pentecost, coming up next week, as Nancy reminded me, I'm always a week off of things like this. Next week, this sermon is for next week. So just hold it. Don't do anything with it. Until next week, you can apply it to your life. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God comes into the room where the disciples are gathered. and lands tongues of fire. The wind blows through the place. They are baptized, anointed in the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's the words that Paul writes again and again and again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your body. You are indwelt with that same Spirit. Why? For a purpose. See, as amazing as the anointing oil was, as special as God tells Moses that this oil is, that this is sacred, set aside, anything that touches it will become holy, as special as that oil is, it is not the method of anointing used in our Christian context anymore. And the reason is very simple. With the coming of Christ, the anointing is in the Holy Spirit. And it was and is still today the mark. It is the example. It is the proof that you have been anointed, that you have been set apart. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not checking a box that says, I'm a believer, and now I'm going to sit over here on this side instead of the other side. That's not what it is. When the priests were anointed, now I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, so I'm going to back up for a second. This is the mark that sets you apart. How do you know that you are set apart? There are two ways. We've talked about them. I just want to mention them in this context. Spiritual gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. These are the proof of God's anointing work through the Holy Spirit in your life. The spiritual gifts and the work and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's the thing that gives you peace, that gives you, every time I want to remember that list, I can't remember it. It just like flies out of my brain. But love and peace and patience and gentleness and self-control and those things. It's the work of God within you. The gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts, these are the works of God through you for the betterment of the lives of those around you. No longer are we looking to see, did they have that anointing oil poured on them? Do they have that special thing? Are they wearing the right clothes, the special garments? Have they been marked as set aside and now they stand over here apart from these other people? No. Because now we're marked inside so that people can see it outside. We are internally anointed so that we are externally functional in the kingdom of God. You, me, and everyone who has received Christ has been chosen by God and anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit poured out like the oil on you. But you're not only anointed, you're appointed. I want to call your attention to understand when I read that thing in Exodus, that part about the oil, when they were anointed with the oil, what did it say? You shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them. Consecrate means to set apart. Consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. They were not only set apart. They were set apart for what? Service. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. What did service look like? What did the service look like different in Exodus than it does in the ministry of Jesus? What is the difference between service when you have the anointing oil poured on your head versus when you're anointed with the Holy Spirit? What does service in the kingdom of God look like? It looks like the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He anointed me to do what? Proclaim good news. Recover sight for the blind. Proclaim freedom for those who are captive, to set at free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You remember that verse I read you in Acts chapter 10? There's more to that, and I want you to hear it in that context of that we're not just anointed, we're appointed for service. Listen to the rest of that. Peter is telling them, and he connects these two things, and I think it's exactly the ministry that Jesus wanted us to catch. Listen to what he says. Jesus, or God, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know what that word for is? Because. Because God was with him, he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed. And he goes on, as Peter is teaching them and speaking these words over him, and they're receiving the life, they're receiving the good news, exactly the first thing that Jesus says, I came here to do. And as they're doing what he said to go and do, it says in verse 44, while Peter is saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on them and fell on all who heard the good word. And the believers from among those who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. You have been anointed and appointed. You are not merely set apart to check the box and say, here I am, I'm in my other seat now. What it means is now I am committed to letting Jesus, letting the Holy Spirit take control of my life and use me to the degree that I will let him. We give ourselves away, as the song says, so he can use me. But I wanted you to notice one other thing about this whole story. This whole story that Jesus is saying to the people when he's telling them that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things. It means that with the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him to do these things, but it also means the converse, right? Anytime someone says, I can do this because I have this, it means if I don't have this, I can't do it. It implies that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do the things that God has called us to do. We cannot do the mission that we have been sent on. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the right tools. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the right demeanor, the right personality. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the right gifting. We don't have the right knowledge. We don't have the right understanding. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have love. And Paul says that without love, nothing else that you do matters. And it mattered so much that Jesus said, it's because of your love that people will know that you are my disciples. And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot have love for your fellow man to the degree that we need to save souls, the degree that we need to bring them before the Father so that they can be saved. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot bring the good news. Because if there's only hope in this world, if that's all we believe in for hope, there's no good news, because it's all death. But in Jesus, there is life and life everlasting. That's the good news. We can't proclaim freedom because we have no authority to release them in our own power. Only Christ, only the power of his blood and his love and his sacrifice can we truly be free. We can't recover sight for the blind. Because it's only God's truth through which we can truly see. We have no power to free the oppressed. We can be nice to people. We can be kind to people. We can do good things, but we can't free them, because only Christ can set you free. The Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just this ethereal thing floating around in the ether, and we say, oh, the Holy Spirit's here, or the Holy Spirit's there. The Holy Spirit is a dynamic, impactful, life-altering, life-changing force that exists so that we can do what we have been called to do. We are anointed and set apart to serve as priests in God's kingdom, to go about doing good.